Okay, so last time we discussed donating blood and the halachos providing giving blood to other people for donations. Let's talk today about a more, not controversial issue, but a more difficult concept. It's not so easy to give away a person's body part, and that is the issue of donating kidneys in halacha. And what does the Torah have to say about that? So nowadays there are people who want to donate their kidney to someone with a kidney failure. And the question who a person has to undergo dialysis. And the issue is, what are the halachos regarding such an issue of donating a kidney? What does a person have to know? Now, there's a lot of questions involved, a lot of different what-ifs and things like that. We're going to talk about a normal case, a case where everything is, person has permission, everything is healthy from the donor. There's no issue of triage, deciding who comes first or things like that. You donate to an organization that provides the recipient of the kidney. We'll discuss the most simple of cases. So the first issue is it us or is it mutter? Is it a mitzvah or is it a chobah? Do you have to do it if you're available to do it? And let's jump right in. First, let's discuss the issue of hatzalas nefashos, the concept of when do you have to save another person? When is it our responsibility to save another person who is in danger? So there's a Gemara in Bava Kamma and Daf Tzadi, and this is cited by the Rambam as well, in the laws of Chovel Mazik, who says that it's usur to harm another person or yourself. You can't harm your own body. And whoever harms another person violates a lo saseh. And this issue of harming another person, so Rav Chanan Wasserman, who is the great Rosh Yeshiva in Baranovich, so he writes in his Kovetz Ha'aros and Simon Ayin that the Rambam understands the issur of harming another person is only when it's done with the intent to harm. But if I was trying to do something good and it ends up having a negative effect, so to speak, it hurt the person and caused bleeding, damage, things like that, then that would be okay. So based on this, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a famous shuva in Choshen Mishpat and Chelik Beis regarding cosmetic surgery. Is a person allowed to go under the knife for cosmetic surgery? So Rav Moshe says, based on this idea, that since the person going under the knife for cosmetic surgery is doing it not with the intent to hurt, so to speak, even though it comes with hurting aspects of it, but it comes with the intent to help at the end of the day, therefore he allows cosmetic surgery when needed. Based on this, we would say it should be mutter in that aspect to donate a kidney, because when the donor is undergoing the surgery to give away the kidney, he's doing it for an instructive and a helpful purpose, not to be hurt in any way, and therefore from his perspective, the damage or any feelings of any recovery that comes afterwards would certainly be permitted in halacha. The Shulchan Aruch then continues in Choshen Mishpat, at the very end of Choshen Mishpat, in Siman Tav Chavav, that if you see someone drowning in water or being attacked, and you can save the person, and you don't save the person, so you have violated the pasuk in the Torah of Lo Sa'amod al Dam Re'acha, to stand by idly while your friend's blood is being spilt. And there is a machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi in Maseches Shumos, cited by the Hagos Maimoni and the Beis Yosef, say that a person must enter into a suffix sakana in order to save somebody else. You must enter into a questionably dangerous situation in order to save another person. So you see a burning building and somebody inside. It's kind of dangerous. So according to the Talmud Yerushalmi, you have to run into the building to get the person out of the building, because it's not for sure that you're going to be hurt or you might not make it out. You might not. And therefore, in the case of suffix, you have to go and help the person. However, we find ourselves not running into building burnings that often. And the reason being, because we don't follow the Bavli, we don't follow the Yerushalmi, we follow the Talmud Bavli. And this is the opinion of the Rambam and the Rush and the Rif and the Shulchan Aruch and the Tur, all of our great poskim. And they say that there's no responsibility to endanger oneself in order to save another person. If I'm going to get hurt, if my life is going to be put on the line in order to save your life, I don't have to do that. And this is the opinion of the Sma and the Pisrei Tshuva as well. And therefore, perhaps, we might have a suffix. Is a person allowed to undergo the knife and to go through surgery, a suffix sakana, where even though I will be helping another person who needs a kidney, but am I allowed to put myself in that danger? Another case. If an aggressor tells a Jew that you must cut off your limb on your body, and if not, I will kill somebody else. So what's the halacha in that case? A person comes up with a gun and says, if you don't remove a limb from your body, I'm going to shoot another person. So the Ricanti, one of the Italian Rabbanim, writes, you have to let him cut off a limb. A person comes and says, either cut off your ear or I'm going to shoot this other person, you have to remove your ear. Nothing to discuss. However, the Pisrei Tshuva in Shulchan Aruch in Yeredei and Siman Kuf and Zayin cites the Radvaz. The Radvaz has a Tshuva in Chela Gimel, which is cited by many people, who argues that you are not chayv to give up a limb. If the person comes to you and says, either cut off your hand or I'm going to shoot the other person, then you don't have to give up a limb in order to save that other individual. However, if you do give up a limb that would not put you in danger, an ear, whatever it may be, and it would not put you in danger, so the Radvaz says that is a midas chasidus. It's very nice of you to give up a limb that would not potentially kill you later on in order to save another person. That would be wonderful. We would honor you at the dinner, and it would be a wonderful thing to do, but you don't have to do it. However, says the Radvaz, if the person says you have to give up a limb that will certainly lead to your passing later on, a vital limb, and you do give up that limb to save somebody else, so the Radvaz says you are a chasid shota. You're a foolish chassid. You're too frum. You don't have to give up your life in that situation, says the Radvaz. Okay, so we're putting a lot of things together here, a lot of concepts on the board. When do we have to put our lives in line? When do we not have to put our lives in line? Let's go through two more discussions. The responsibility to save someone is learned from Lo Samad Al Dam Rayacha. So the Rama writes in Yeredei and Kufnin and Zayin that a person has to give up all their money in order to not violate a Lo Sase in the Torah. If you only have $10 left, and the only option to eat is pork or something kosher, and to go order to not eat the pork, you have to give up all $10. You have to give up everything. You have to give up any dollar amount in order to prevent yourself from not violating a negative commandment in the Torah. It's not the same with the positive. A positive commandment, you only have to pay up till a third of what you own in order to fulfill a positive commandment. But for a negative command, you have to give up any dollar amount to make sure you don't violate that Isser. So with this in mind, the Shach writes that you don't have to lose a limb in order to not violate a Lo Sase. If the only way you can, you know, not wear shatnas is by losing a limb, so the Shach says, keep your limbs, wear shatnas, better thing to do. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, in which he explains that the Shach understands that the Ramah only said you have to give up all your money, but he didn't say you have to lose your limb, meaning money, yes, limb, no. Therefore, you should violate a negative commandment and not harm yourself, even if it's a limb that would not put you in danger. So Rav Moshe Feinstein concludes the discussion and says, a person never has to give up their limb in order to not violate a negative commandment, even to save somebody else. You don't have to. It's Midas Chasidus. Comes the Mishnah Berurah in Shin Chav Tes. In the middle of Hilchos Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah makes the following point. Listen to this. He says, if it would be dangerous to save someone, you don't have to save that person because your life comes first. Chayecha kodmim. Your life comes before the next person on the line. That's for sure. Chayecha kodmim. This is even in the case of Safek Sakana. Let's say my life is not necessarily on the line. It might be on the line. Says the Mishnah Berurah, still, if it's only a questionable suffix, you don't have to put your life on the line to save another person. Chayacha, kodmin, your life comes first. The suffix of you staying alive is more powerful than the certainty of the other person's death. However, says the Chafetz Chaim, don't be too frum in being so medakdek in whether there's a real sakana or not. He says you have to be honest with yourself and say, is that a real sakana? Sometimes a person will say, well, you know, if I go help the person, I could get a hangnail, and the hangnail get an infection, and you have to go to the doctor, and you know, what's going to be? Says the Chafetz Chaim, don't be such an accountant when it comes to measuring what the sakana is. You have to be mevater a little bit. And he writes, he quotes the Gemara Bava Metzia. The Gemara Bava Metzia says, on Daf Lamed Gimel, Hamedakdek atzmo bekach bal yedei kach. If you're so analytical, you say, oh, maybe this will happen and that will happen, says the Gemara, then that thing Hashem will turn around and make happen to you. If you're so medactic with helping the other person out, but if I do this, what's going to be? And the kids and the bank account, and you have so many cheshbonos to say why I can't help that person out. So Hashem says, if you're so medactic and you're so careful about it, then I'm going to turn that thing back around you. Says the Chafetz Chaim, be careful. Be careful when you decide if it's a real sakana that I can't do it. This is a real loss at the end of the day. You have to be so careful to decide in that decision. So with all this information together, we know that we don't have to put our lives in line, even in the case of a suffix sakana, and we don't have to give up a limb But at the same time, we have to be careful about how far we protect ourselves. So what do we say about donating a kidney? What would we say? Can? You can. So let's go through the history of kidney donations in halacha. The first person to write about kidney donations was Dayan Weiss, the Minchas Yitzchak. He was the Abbasin of the Eid HaRedis in Yerushalayim. You've all eaten their food before. And Dayan Weiss writes in the Minchas Yitzchak, in Chelek Vav in Simen Kuf Gimel. And he was asked on Dalet Iyar, Tufshin Chaf Av, that's 1961. He was asked about this. And he felt that it was Usser, because of the dangerous nature of the surgery, because of the issues not having another kidney if you need one in the future. And he says the entire hetzer of entering into a suffix sakana, a questionably dangerous situation, is when you know that you will certainly save the other person. But in donating the kidney, it's only a suffix hatsala. I'm only maybe helping the other person out. And I'm maybe putting myself in danger. And for this alone, you can't put yourself in danger. And he concludes, v'yesh levarer koza. He says, we need to think more about this. V'kasavti ka'es rakla here. I'm only writing this to raise a few issues. He says, I'm not saying for sure. I said, I think it's us or now. But I'm only raising these issues because nobody else is writing about it. And these are my questions. In addition, in Tufshin Chafei 1965, Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg, the Sitz Eliezer, who was the posek for Shaar HaTzedek Hospital, so he writes in Chelek Tes, in Simen Memhei, that it's usher to donate a kidney. The doctors have told him that removing a kidney puts the person in suffix sakana. And he says, only if expert doctors will come together in the future and say that it's not dangerous, can we allow the donation of a kidney. And this is the opinion in the 60s regarding donating kidneys. Now, it's important to note that when the Minchas Yitzchak and Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg wrote this almost 60 years ago, a lot has changed. The surgery has changed, and the transplantation of kidneys has changed completely from the donor's perspective and from the recipient's perspective. And it goes for the recipient because they have drugs that prevent the body from rejecting the organ, and the chances of the body absorbing the kidney have gone up and now rejecting it. In regards to the fear that the donor will need a second kidney, so the doctors generally say that first of all, any disease that takes one kidney is going to go after the second one anyway. Meaning, it's not like it's going to save you later on, because the same disease is going to take that kidney as well. So it's not essentially saving that much. The disease doesn't only pick one kidney, not the other. It's going to affect both, and both kidneys will become equally unusable. So that's point number one. And second of all, the kidney provides a person essentially 400%, two kidneys provide a person 400% of what they need to clean their blood and do what it needs to do. With one kidney, the donor is left with 200% of what it needs to do. Meaning you're still in a good situation anyway, even if you have one kidney. You still have more technique than you need. And therefore the doctors say, donating a single kidney does not put a person at risk, even in the future if something else comes up. Because the disease will do what it's going to do anyway, and you're taken care of right now, and the odds of something happening are unlikely. Those who forbade taking a kidney were speaking at a time when the reality was different and the operation was risky. And even though there's still risk in operations, we would tell a person who underwent a kidney donation to bench Gomel afterwards 100%. It still is a surgery with anesthesia, and there still is, you know, issues that are involved. But it's a risk that can be done to save another life. And the current medical reality is that it's mutter and perhaps even a mitzvah to donate a kidney. And the tshuva, even of the Tzitz Eliezer, years later in Chelek Yud, he says that if the doctors can show that donating a limb is not so dangerous, we'll allow it. So even the Tzitz Eliezer was open to the possibility in the future of kidney donations. Let's go through the numbers before we turn to the contemporary poskim. What do the doctors say? It goes like this. According to the reality, the mortality rate among patients receiving dialysis after 1 year of treatment is 22%. 22% of patients will live after 1 year of dialysis. On the other hand, the mortality rate of a kidney transplant recipient is 6%. Only 6% will not make it within the first year. And when it's taken from a live person, the kidney, it's 2%, the mortality rate. And that is a big difference. After 5 years, the difference between the patients is even greater. 67% of dialysis patients do not survive more than 5 years. And in contrast, only 19% of kidney transplant recipients die after 5 years, whereas 10% of kidney transplants from a living person do not survive. In addition, the quality of life of the kidney transplant is much different than dialysis, having to go every single week and having to deal with those issues. And regarding to the donor, the chances of death during the process of the removal or immediately afterwards is only 2/300 of a percent, 0.03 or 0.02% of a problem during or right after the surgery. And immediate complications are very rare, less than 1%, intestinal lesions, hernia, things like that, but things that can be taken care of later on. The rate of death and morbidity due to kidney removal is equivalent to driving a car for 2 years. That's the same thing. It's the same issue. Driving a car for 2 years, which we've all been doing, is the same as donating a kidney, or a woman who gave birth to 2 children. The same level of danger. Long-term complications are unknown. We know of no long-term complications, provided that he was pre-screened and they were healthy and the kidney was taken, you know, in a safe standard medical practice and the donor has regular medical supervision. We know of no long-term issues when it comes to donating a kidney. And there are certainly certain limitations. The person can't fast, you know, for the first little bit afterwards as well. It's tsar b'shaiso, as we call it. Difficulty at that time, but those difficulties of the donation will eventually pass afterwards, and especially nowadays, a lot of the surgery is done telescopically, which even lowers the rate of uncomfortability even more afterwards, and for that reason, we find the following poskim saying the following things. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach from the Shulchan Shlomo said, Vadai mutter levatzeh nituach lotzi kliya. It is mutter to undergo the surgery to give away a kidney. May adam bari kedei shehashatliya eitz alachod, to give to a person who's sick. V'gam yesh b'zeh mitzvah rabba shalatzelos nefashos, is a great mitzvah. Rovadjo seifin yechavadasin chela gimel. Mutter v'gam mitzvah litrom kliya echas b'kalyosav, is a mitzvah to give one of your kidneys away. Lahatzelos chayav shal adam Yisrael, to another person, Hashrui b'sakanas machas klios, who has kidney problems. Nim sarlanu b'pirofim mumchum, you know from the expert doctors, Yerei Shemayim, shedargas hasikun v'atzah klia, giving away, the danger of giving away a kidney is very, very low. U'kishetishim v'teisha achuz, 99% of the torim of the donators, chozum v'yasam v'kitzkina, go back to perfect health after as well, and that's even less, it's almost 100%. Nowadays. The Stifler said that since a person can live their entire life with one kidney, this falls under the statement of the Mishnah Berurah, in the name of the Pisachei Tshuva, that you shouldn't be so medaktik. That's what we call that Mishnah Berurah. Don't be so medaktik in your health, says the Stifler. This is a case where perhaps one can decide for themselves that it's not a real suffix sakana. Rav Sternbach and Shuvas Hanagos and Chelik Bey says that Midas Chasidus to give a kidney, Ashrei mi shezoche lakach. Praiser is the person who's able to do this. Rav Vosner writes in the Shevet HaLevi and also in his Torah journal Moriah that you're not chayv to give a kidney, and he leaves it as a tsarach ian whether there should be campaigns for kidney donations, because he feels that you're pressuring someone to do something that's a Midas Chasidus. So he's uncomfortable with campaigns and organizations that go and rally people to give away kidneys. But he says if you do it, it's a Maisa Chesed, and you'll be rewarded in Shemayim. And he says a patient with dialysis is not an immediate danger, although then there will be a Sakana, and it's Safik Pikuach Nefesh. But on the other hand, it's possible to live with one kidney, and therefore you're allowed to donate. And he says, if you know the patient's in certain danger, and the donor has a small amount of danger, and he says, it's not a chiyuv, but it's a great chesed to do. Rav Asher Weiss in the Menchas Asher and Chelek Aleph, it's mutter and a mitzvah to donate the kidney. And he says that the trend should be encouraged and praised those who do donate kidneys, but it's usser to create family or social pressure to donate, where people feel they have to donate. Because again, It's a midas chasidus, and we wouldn't want anybody to do something that would make them feel so uncomfortable. By all accounts, although there's no risk of kidney donation, there's no chiyuv to donate a kidney because we don't require loss of an organ, but certainly it is the proper thing to do. And by all accounts, you may not donate your kidney for scientific research, because that is not to save anybody, and that is undergoing the knife for perhaps a danger for no beneficial reason to anybody at this point. But to donate to save someone's life is certainly a mitzvah and a midas chasidus. That is the main point, and that is the main halachic discussion. Let's discuss some details. One of the people who write about kidney donations the most is Rav Yitzhak Zilberstein, who is a Rav in Eretz Yisrael who's very involved in medical ethics things. He has a very unique way of looking at halacha. So I'm going to quote everything he says with an asterisk, because he has a different mahalach than many people in how he looks at halacha, certainly medical ethics. But he does raise a number of important issues and points that can be discussed at another time regarding the very act of the donation itself. So he has four volumes that were written up called Shiurei Torah L'Rofim. Rav Zilberstein gives weekly or monthly classes to doctors in hospitals about questions that they have. So this is in volume two, and he has a long piece about kidney donation. And he discusses a number of cases with complicated ethical issues. So let's stick to the things that are most practical for us. Regarding the gravity of donating a kidney, and this is definitely in Rav Zilberstein's style, he often quotes Mefarshim on Chumash, non-halachic sources to bring halachic proof text. So this is a classic example of his style. He quotes an Ibn Ezra on Chumash, not a posek. He quotes the Ibn Ezra on Chumash in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, sorry, at the end of Sefer Shmos, and the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. It says, regarding the kidneys, it says, when the posek in Tehillim says, Nichsefa v'gam kalsa nafshi. And he says, Bavur shekoach ha-mishgal v'hatayva sharshim ha-klios. He says the kidneys contain some sort of metaphysical ability of the person's knowledge and their well-being. And therefore, when you donate a kidney, you have to be aware that you're giving away some form of spiritual, intellectual aspect of who you are as a person. And he takes the statement of Ibn Ezra seriously. He invokes it in a number of places. He says, first of all, you don't need permission of a parent to donate a kidney. That's one thing he says. A child can go on their own and donate a kidney without the parent's permission. He says, even if the parent wants, the child, the daughter, does not have to listen to the parents. The halachas of kibud av aim is has to come from the child doesn't have to spend any money on their behalf to take care of a parent. Right? If a parent wants to go to the grocery store, or a parent wants something, so al pi halacha, the child has no reason to take out of their own bank account. It can come first and foremost from the parent's account. That's the halacha. So he says, V'kan ha-kliya hi shel habas. Whose kidney does that belong to? The daughter or the parents? It's the daughter's kidney. So the parent can't tell me, the daughter, to do what I want with my kidney, he says. I don't have to listen to the parents regarding what to do with it. That means the parents can't force the child to donate the kidney to a sibling who needs one or a relative. And on the other hand, you don't have to worry about the parents' opinion. For only for a mitzvah that's midas chasidus do we not listen to the parents. It's not just midas chasidus, he says. It's a mitzvah to give away the kidney. When you give away and you save another person, you're fulfilling, you're sustaining the whole world. The mitzvah of donating a kidney pushes aside the parents' protest of kibud av aim. He also says, you're not allowed to give away a kidney without the spouse's permission, though. You have to have permission from your spouse. Where does he see this in halacha? He says, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Evan Ezer, the laws of marriage, Ba'adam shenu yachol leparnes es mishpachto, v'lechein rotzuhu lavor lagor li'ir acheres, v'ishto misnagedes. Let's say the spouse can't make enough parnasa in this city, and he wants to go travel to another city to make a parnasa to support the family. So the halacha is that if the wife doesn't want the husband to travel somewhere else for the parnasa, she's allowed to prevent him from going somewhere else. That you have need permission in that case. And this is the shita of the Rivash. Mishum sha'ish yechol leton, she mistapekes belechem sar v'mayim lachatz. The wife will say, I'm okay with not so many fancy things. I want you to be here. More important for you to be here with me than to go travel and to make more money for the family. So he says, "Umestaber shagam binyanenu yechola hilaton she'adif la'istapik b'tzimtzum rav lechayosim bal bari v'lo b'chay ravchim bal chaser klia." I want a husband with two kidneys, a full husband, complete. I don't want a husband who's missing part of his kidneys. And he says that that's what the wife wants. And the husband has to listen to the wife. He says that he has to have permission of the spouse in order to donate a kidney. In one last place, he discusses at what age can a person decide on their own? Can your high school age daughter or son come home today and say, I want to donate my kidney? Are they allowed to make such a decision on their own? So he quotes a Rambam. The Rambam says that you have to be 20 years old to sell land, because the selling of land is a complicated business agreement. And even though we respect our bar and bat mitzvah age children, as we know, teenagers' brains are not always fully formed. They make decisions that are not always the most responsible decisions. And therefore, the Rambam says you have to be 20 years old. So he quotes his father-in-law, Rav Yashiv, who felt that for a kidney, it's different. Because a young person who makes such a decision shows that they are mature. For a young person, a teenage child, to come and say, I want to give of myself to another person, shows not that they're immature, but it shows of their caring and their understanding of humanity and other people. And therefore, he quotes his father-in-law saying that if a bar mitzvah child comes and says, I want to give away a kidney, they have permission to do such a thing. And as we saw before, they don't also have to listen to their parents, but they have the das to make such a decision at the end of the day. Rav Zilberstein says, though, if the teenager is a bit schwach, it's not the brightest kid, he doesn't always make the best decisions you found. So he says, in that case, you should appoint an apotropos. You should appoint a guardian to sit with the child and explain to them, do you understand exactly what's going on over here? If you feel that your child is not all there and making the most responsible decisions in the past. That is pretty much the basic overview of the halacha of giving away a kidney. There is discussion regarding, as well, selling kidneys. It's not totally practical, because in most countries it is illegal to sell kidneys, because we don't want to give people the perception that you can force another person or bribe them to give away their body parts. And therefore it is generally frowned upon to give away kidneys for money. However, the Nishmas Avram in Chelek Dalid, the Rav Avram Steinberg, so he writes that if a person still fulfills the mitzvah if they donate a kidney for money, do I still get a mitzvah for it, or did I lose all my schar in the check? So he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman saying that if a person knows that the kidney will be used to help someone, then it's a mitzvah, and I got a new car with it, okay. But I also did a mitzvah at the same time, and it's not an Isser of Chavala. And it's certainly a mitzvah that overrides the isser of chaval at the end of the day. What if the recipient doesn't end up paying for the kidney? Let's say I donate the kidney and then I never get the check. So can I bring the person to Beis Din to pay for the kidney I gave them? So this chaps an interesting nafkamina. The Minchas Chinuch and Mitzvah Memcha says, and we discussed this last time by blood donation, that a person doesn't own you don't own your body. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's property that he gave to you in order to house your neshama, but it doesn't belong to you. And therefore he says that he argues that a person does own the body and he can be mochel on damages, and therefore he should be able to bring the recipient to Beis Din to get money for the body part he gave away. On the other hand, we saw the last time the Radvaz, and this is famously brought to the front by Rav Zevin. Rav Zevin was a fantastic Talmid Chacham who lived in Eretz Yisrael after the Holocaust. He lived in Russia. He was an interesting combination. He was a Lubavitcher Chassid, who was also a Zionist, who was also part of the Haredi community. He was a very talented writer who wrote on all different types of topics. The idea of writing in halacha, halachic topics, just for the sake of publishing, he's one of the first people to do this, to write in a certain style that's comfortable for people to read. So he published a very popular sefer called La'or HaHalacha. And the very end of La'or HaHalacha, sort of Zevin has an essay titled Mishpat HaShylock, the court case of Shylock from Shakespeare. And without going to the whole history of the Shakespearean play again, but Shylock was the Jew who had to give away a pound of flesh because of the deal that he made. So Rav Zevin, which shows you the broadness of his reading, he read Shakespeare as well, he wrote a whole shtickel Torah about the halakhic implications, the Shylock, the Jew, allowed to give away the pounds of flesh. He has a whole piece. So he writes there that the body doesn't belong to you, belongs to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the donor cannot demand payment from the recipient of the kidney, because it wasn't his right to give the kidney anyway for payment. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's payment. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's kidney, and therefore you want to give the kidney away to save somebody, fine, but you don't have the right to charge for it. It belongs to Hashem. That's how Rav Zevin would view it. Nevertheless, Rav Asher writes in the Minchas Asher that even if you don't own your body, you can still demand payment, because the payment of the money in the case of the kidney is not for the actual flesh of the kidney itself. It's payment for the stress and the time that I underwent in order to give the kidney away. And for that, you could technically demand payment in court as well. They have discussions. Rav Zilberstein has a piece about, let's say you donated a kidney and then the person then passes away. Can you ask for the kidney back? All different types of crazy things that are never likely to come up as well. But what about a promise? Let's end with this. You made a promise to donate a kidney and then you backed out. Do you have to fulfill the promise? So here I think we have a machlokas aposkim. The Shach writes in Choshen Mishpat and Reish Mem Gimel, and the Nesivos as well, they quote a shuvah of the Maharik. The Maharik says that if there's a tircha degufa, if there's a burden on the person's physical body, then we don't call a promise a neder. If a person promises something that is physically taxing on the body, then we don't call that a neder, because a person understands that when he promises something that involves his physical body, there's always a caveat attached. What if I pull back? I don't want to undergo a difficult physical process. Seemingly, the donation of the kidney would have a tircha on the body. It would be something difficult. And the Chafetz Chaim writes in Avos Chesed the same thing as well. So it would seem to be, I didn't say anybody discuss this directly, but it would seem to be that if you promised a kidney and then you got cold feet and then you wanted to back out, it would not be a neder that you would have to carry through just because you said so, because of the tircha, the difficulty that goes upon the human body in that case. So that was just a basic overview of the simplest issues of donating a kidney, just to be aware of the mitzvah and the midas chasidus that goes along with it. As we mentioned last time, as Rav Chaskel Abramsky said, lo li ne manas basar v'dam. He said about dam, but also basar. We should always be lucky enough to not always be on the receiving end of needing the bus or the flesh of another human being. And we should always be in a healthy position where we can give and not receive. Okay, we'll stop here.
Question B.
Yeah.